At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Bless you.
Thanks.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episode's broadcast between the 4th to the 7th of November, 2024. Hello! How are you? Are you well? Good? Marvellous? Excellent. Hello, Ree. How are you this week?
I'm all right, thanks. Right. Well, we're not all
well,
right.
You know...
We've just had a bit of a rant before we started this.
Quite a
long
rant,
actually.
Quite a long political half-hour rant about the state of the world and then moved on, because that's all you
and
can
America
do, really.
More specifically, we'll tell you, all right? Yeah. That's what we're about.
Come at us, America.
Bring it on.
We don't care. Yeah, crazy. Absolutely mental, but never mind. What can you do? We can't do a lot yet. Give us
a
bit of time.
We can just rant to each other right now.
Yeah, well, give us a bit of time, you know, as we grow as a podcast, and we might soon have an impact on the world's politics, but just
That'd
not yet.
Amazing.
We are young yet. We might, you know, give us a few years.
We'll
sort everything out. Don't worry. Just bear with us, okay? This week's EastEnders, not a bad old show. We had a reunion, which some have been waiting for many a year. And yes, Ree's smuggest moment yet, as she fully predicted something that's happened with the Reese and Bianca story. And I
Fully predicted months ago.
Well, I don't know if it was months.
2 years ago, mate.
Reese even arrived, you were like, there's going to be some weirdo turn up and he's going to lock Bianca in a lockup. That's what you said. I remember you saying it. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we shall get onto that. Ree can warm up her smugness for when we get to part of the
discussion.
Still
not as smug as your face, though.
That's really, really rude.
Sorry, Rob.
How dare you? I don't think I have a smug face. I think I have an open and warm and just cheerful face. You know, there's a fine line between...
It's still an open, warm and cheerful face, but you do have your smug face moments too, which is fine.
Hey, what can I say? Right, so let's crack on, shall we? Much to discuss in this week's Albert Square After Dark. Right then, let's begin this week. We're talking about Kat and Alfie. Kalfi are reunited at last. So, Ree, give me your opinion on Kat and Alfie. Is this something that you've been waiting to happen? Obviously, we knew it would happen at some point, but have you been wanting it to happen? Talk to me.
Not really.
Well,
it's always a will they, weren't they, with Kat and Alfie, isn't it? So it's nothing new.
I think it's always been a they definitely will.
Yeah, well, you know, we're always waiting for, oh, is it going to be this week? Is it going to be this week, is what I mean. But I really started enjoying Kat and Phil. I can't believe I'm still shipping Kat
mad?
And
yeah.
Phil.
Well, let me tell you, Kat is now Kat Slater again in the credits.
Oh, right. Okay,
so
interesting.
Forget that ever happening again, all right? Kat and Phil are very much done and dusted, okay? I would say is, when Alfie first returned... And he was being a pain in the arse and like constantly telling Kat that they're going to get back together and being a bit of a creep and a bit of a weirdo about it. I was sort of like, this is going to feel so forced. Those two getting back together again when Kat feels like she's moved on as a character, and it's going to annoy me because Alfie's just going to be being Alfie and we're going to have to forget about everything that happened the last time he was there with Hayley and everything. And
which we have. Didn't happen.
But... I feel like they did it right because they've actually, this whole thing with Tommy has actually pushed them closer together and it feels more natural. And they've taken so long for them to get to this point of Kat and Alfie being back together. I feel like it's kind of happened naturally and hasn't annoyed me. And it feels like, yeah, okay, I get it. That makes perfect sense. Of course they're back together now. And that feels right, you know? And I feel like they've actually achieved the impossible with that a little bit, because I didn't think I was ever going to really be looking forward to Kat and Alfie getting back together.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, and it has felt very natural, actually. Not one bit of it's felt forced or even one-sided, like Alfie's been pushing it. It does feel like they're both Yeah, very natural. Like, this is the right time for us to be there for one another. Mm. However.
However, with a capital H. Yes.
However. Oh. I'm not sure on the storyline that they're going down. Because the erectile dysfunction storyline. Not because I disagree with doing that storyline, but...
That's good of you.
Thanks. You know, men's
yeah, men's problems.
Okay.
Yeah,
men's
yeah.
problems, that's the word. But I don't know whether it fits alongside the stuff that's going on with Tommy, which
okay.
is quite... Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's a lot for him to be dealing with all in one go.
I see what you mean. Okay, well, I would say that... I get what you mean. I would say that the erectile dysfunction thing is very much obviously a follow-on from the cancer stuff that Alfie was going through.
Yeah,
so I'm
I
glad
that.
I'm glad that they haven't forgotten about that. It is a weird kind of juxtaposition between this quite intense domestic violence storyline and... It's hard to sort of... The thing is, naturally, I think, about something like an erectile dysfunction storyline, there's always going to be a slight element of, like, childish giggling from the back because it's about erections and... you know? So I wonder whether they can sort of take that element away from it. And because obviously, it is an issue and it does affect men and it does psychologically affect men as well, because you feel like less of a man if you can't stand to attention, so to speak, you know. So I can see why it is a thing, and I can understand what Alfie is going through. Maybe that's just a man thing. I can kind of understand the psychological impacts that would have on him and make him feel like less of a man and make him feel like less of a, you know, like he can't provide for his lover. So I kind of think that it's... I get what you mean by saying it's a bit of a weird juxtaposition, and how it's going to be interesting to sort of see how they move forward with the two storylines and see if they can coexist together without feeling a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that's...
And also, is it going to present some issues with Tommy if he is at the back together? Is he going to be happy about that, or...?
Well, I would guess not, because obviously Tommy has always been of the opinion that Kat and Phil were the best thing ever, because he...
Same as me, Tommy, yeah.
So you and Tommy are absolutely on the same page. You knew that was ever going to happen. so, it's... I mean, it's weird, though, isn't it? Like, Phil is clearly being now painted as obviously having had quite a negative effect on Kat's life. Like, I think he's... in a roundabout way, going to be blamed for Tommy's behaviour in some way, isn't he? Because...
It does seem to be going that way, doesn't it? A lot of people are saying, oh, well, he's been around Phil, he were around Phil for so long.
Yeah.
Do you know something we did forget, though, with Tommy? That what? People said online, some of our listeners who pointed out, that he went through all that warehouse shenanigans business, and that was probably quite traumatic for him. And did that have more of an effect?
It was quite traumatic for him.
Yeah,
but
you're
still...
looking for reasons to why he's being
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether that... Because let's be honest, everybody in the square has gone through something like that at some point during their life. Yeah. And they're not all beating up their mothers or their partners or something like that. So, I don't know. I mean, yes, people are different and, you know, he's young and impressionable and, you know, a traumatic event mixed in with hormones flying around can create an interesting combination, to say the least. So, it's possible. But, you know, also some kids just grow up angry and stay angry. And maybe this is, I think we've got to accept the notion that maybe this might be Tommy going forwards. However, what they did have this week was that first meeting. And this is really what pushed Kat and Alfie back together again, when Alfie really sort of stepped up and kind of vocalized exactly how Kat was feeling internally. And there seemed to be a little bit of softening from Tommy. So is this the start of Tommy being slowly brought back onto the good side again? Or what do you think?
I'm not sure, because it sounds like social services have said, right, we're happy for him to move back home. But it's Tommy who's saying, no, I don't want to. Am I right in that, from what they said?
He doesn't want to at the minute because he's got he's got all these issues with Kat. And I feel like that's going to very much continue once he realises that Kat and Alfie are back together again.
Right.
So I don't think so. I wonder if it's going to be sort of a two steps forward, three steps back sort of thing with Tommy.
I can't see him softening. I think now, if anything, he might carry it on, but now he'll start hiding it better, maybe, and not being as blatant as he has been with hitting out. But then again, I don't know if he can control those impulses, because a lot of the times it seemed like he's just reacted in the moment, and even Tommy's been surprised by how he's reacted on a couple of occasions. Like when he punched Kat, he looked like he was genuinely like, oh, shit. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I've done it now.
Oh, well, bye. You deserve that. See you later.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I kind of wonder where Tommy goes from here. Like, he's clearly enjoying life at Zach's at the moment, because Zach's apparently just letting him play on his games console all the time. Which, if I was Zach, I think I'd do the same. Like, you're right, yeah, you stay in your room. That's fine. Go beat up somebody on your video console instead of your mother. That's fine. That's an outlet.
I mean...
So I don't know. I mean, I still would say, as I said last week, I'd like to see some scenes between Zach and Tommy, just to sort of see how that's happening and see how they're coexisting together. And maybe it will give us a bit of an insight into Zach and sort of seeing bits of himself in Tommy or something. That might be interesting to see.
Yeah, because we've not seen them together at all. It's just we've just been told what he's doing at Zach's, haven't we? What about Jean? Are you surprised that Kat's forgiven Jean so quickly?
Yes and no. I'm pleased that she has, because, I mean, she was always going to at some point, so they may as well just get that out of the way now. Because I think what's happened this week, actually, was the slow progression of Kat realising that things are as bad as everybody's saying that they are. Like, I think she actually came to the realisation that it's, you know, she has been sort of trying to hide away from the truth. And as she said this week, she's an abuse survivor anyway, so she sort of went back into old habits almost mentally about what was going on and saying that everything's fine, don't worry. You know, you sort of fall into that kind of habit of lying about what's going on, or lying to make yourself feel better about the situation. So I think that she came to a realization this week that that's what she's been doing. And I think that was what pushed her forward enough to be comfortable around Alfie again and comfortable around Jean, because she realized that what Jean was doing was actually trying to help everybody involved in the situation.
Yeah, with best intentions.
Yeah.
Because funnily enough, after I reflected this week, I saw it more from Kat's point of view, because I was thinking, how would I feel if a family member rang social services on me and got my kid took away? Like, actually, fair, Kat. Yeah, that's pretty
bad.
You'd
go mad, wouldn't you? But then, even given the situation that was going on at the time.
Yeah. No, I know, it's not that straightforward, is it? It's not at all. And like you said, if Kat's out of the denial now, maybe she has gone, you know what, Tommy could have probably hurt the boys if he'd been left to carry on, if this had not happened or something.
Well, this is the other thing. The social workers are around this week and said, we don't think he's a threat to the boys anymore. I mean, what are you talking about? Of course he's a threat to the boys. They're literally covered in bruises. What are you talking about?
I was confused by that. Is that because they've got a care plan in, like, they've got an idea of what they're going to do moving forward?
Maybe. But they're basically saying that he can move back in, aren't they?
That's what I got from it, yeah.
It's like he's only been out of the flat 2 weeks. Like, how can he not be a threat now when they've literally been covered in bruises and they're scared of him? Like, that doesn't seem...
I didn't understand that either. Have they assessed something and gone, well, he's told us he won't ever do it again or something, or maybe they're going to put a plan together and say they're not allowed to share a bedroom like they have been or something? I don't know.
Maybe it also might be a reflection of the fact that, you know, obviously cases like this are swamping social services, you know, so maybe it's a reflection of we're rushing through these cases, so sometimes things are going to slip through the net.
But they've been quite lucky though, really, even if that is the case, because Zach's just, like, looking after him, so it's not they're trying to move him from foster home to foster home or anything. But yeah, maybe they're like, could do without this paperwork, so you go back.
We'll see. I mean, I can't imagine that it's going to be a case of Tommy moves back in and everything's like the Waltons again. That's not going to happen. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to sort of see if Tommy does revert back into violence again when he eventually moves back in with Kat and Alfie. He's got a lot to discover, hasn't he? He's got to discover that Kat and Alfie are back together, which I would wonder whether that's going to be enough to sort of make him violent again. And then the next stage of the social services involvement is then going to take place.
Definitely. What's he going to do though when he finds out? Yeah, he'll just start blaming Kat again and saying you can't make your mind up and shaming her and all that jazz, which he seems
all that
to
stuff.
Love doing.
Yeah, all that jazz. So that's to come, I think. But with regards to Kat and Alfie, I thought there were some genuinely sweet scenes between them this week, and you kind of...
Yeah, they were. I do like them together. I'm not going to say that I don't like them together, but I wasn't like, oh, yeah, Kat and Alfie are finally back together. Like, I weren't like...
The thing is, there's always a sense of inevitability about Kat and Alfie, isn't there? Like, you know it's going to happen at some point. So when it does happen eventually, you're like, all right, cool, finally we're here.
Yeah.
But I thought there were some genuinely sweet scenes between them this week. You kind of, it's easy to forget just how well Jesse Wallace and Shane Ritchie bounce off each other.
Yeah, the chemistry, they do, definitely.
And this is why they've always been put together, because the two actors have such great chemistry together.
Yeah.
And they've got so much history together, and they can reflect on so much together. And I just
Nana
I
Moon shout out as
I
well.
know I loved Nana Moon.
I loved Nana Moon.
The force of the fireworks in Walford that can make picture frames fly off the wall. That's impressive stuff. No wonder Freddie wanted silent fireworks, by the way. Jesus
Oh yeah.
Christ. What are they firing up there? Meteorites? Jesus.
No, it was Nana Moon sending the message, Rob. It
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
anything to do with the
The spirit of
fireworks,
Nana Moon.
okay?
Yeah, the
I like those
poltergeist.
scenes as well, by the way, with Alfie and Kat
Yeah.
versus like Kat telling Jean and
Yeah.
Stacey and Alfie being all, you know, loving and tender about it, and Kat being like, I shoved my tongue down his throat. And what did she say? He ran like a
Yeah,
rat or
ran like a
something.
rat, like in a trap. Yeah, I mean the
That's it.
Cat and Stacey are a great combination as well. I love it when
Yeah.
those two are getting on and talking and laughing and getting drunk together. That's always great fun. I thought there was some great scripts by Brian Kirkwood this week. Again, he keeps delivering these fantastic scripts. I love a Brian Kirkwood script. I've noticed that he always goes a little bit near to the knuckle with the humor. Like he always pushes the
Okay.
envelope with the sort of cheeky, rude humor a little bit more, which is no bad thing. I do quite enjoy that, but it's quite a distinctive tone of his scripts that he always goes out a little bit further with some of the jokes, which I quite like. But yeah, everything with the fireworks and them being sweet together and back together and them basically having quite a frank conversation about their sex life. I don't know how helpful Kat turning around and saying, "What's all right, you've always been crap in bed," essentially was what she said to him at one point, wasn't it?
But
Like
she
you've always
did,
been
and then
lacking
after.
in that department.
No, but then afterwards she said she was joking and actually were the best that she's, or that, so she said something like that. No, she
I
did
don't
retract it
know.
and say she was joking.
I don't know if she. I don't know if he's Alfie's the best she's ever had, because we know that Phil is a beast in the bedroom.
We've heard the tale
Many
of
we have
Phil, yes.
many many recollections of how good Phil is in bed. So I'd be interested to know who is better in bed, Alfie or Phil. Let us know in the comment section who do you think is better in bed, Alfie or Phil.
Or don't.
Or don't, do what you want. It's interesting as well, the fire extinguisher scene. I thought that was quite a nice. Although, do you have a fire extinguisher in your house?
I do not, and I did genuinely consider, like, should I
Should
have
I
a
have
fire
one?
extinguisher in my house? Should I
Should
have
I
one in the
get one?
kitchen?
I
Does seem
think.
like a good idea. I mean, I have got a gas hob, so actually it might not
Yeah.
be the worst idea, but
I
also
wonder if I
like,
should.
is that a thing? Do
Do
people have it?
people have like, and it's only a little mini one, but have you got a fire extinguisher in your house, listener or viewer? Let us know.
Do you know what? I'm
Are we
trying to.
behind?
Now I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to think, did I have one in my rented flat? I feel like there was a fire blanket on the
Yeah.
wall for some reason, but I don't think they're an extinct. No, I don't find that normal.
The thing is, I always thought you weren't supposed to, because they had a bit of a fire extinguisher fight, which was a quite sweet moment, but I always thought that you weren't supposed to do that with fire extinguishers. I thought the like the toxic stuff that was in the foam meant that was a really dangerous thing to do.
I wouldn't have thought that's a great idea, no.
Or maybe that's just like I know there's different types of fire extinguisher, so maybe like you're not supposed to do like the black one or the blue
But the
one.
red one's all
Red
right. You can
one,
just have
go to
a fire
town. Yeah, you can
extinguisher,
have a foam
water
party with
gun
that.
fight. Yeah,
Yeah,
foam
that's
party.
fine.
That's fair.
That's
Yes, but there
fine.
was a scene from back in the day of Kat and Alfie with the fire
Yes, I
extinguisher.
know.
So, you
Yes,
know, they
yeah.
had to do all
But they've
that, didn't
always
they?
been living dangerously with fire extinguishers. It's their thing. If they're not talking about being a
Maybe.
man on the moon, they're flirting each other with a fire extinguisher.
Maybe that's why they had one in there. Maybe Alfie were just waiting for the right moment for that fire extinguisher to come out so
It's
they
the
could
only
flee
reason
with
it's
old
there. It's the
times.
only reason.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with health and safety. It's
No,
like,
no,
I
no.
will squirt her in the face with this, and then we'll be back together. It's going to wait there. It's going to be like Chekhov's fire extinguisher. It's always going to be there. There we go. So yeah, Kalfi are back together and hurrah. So there we are then. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the next story. On to Harry and Jack now. This is sort of like the smaller storyline throughout the week. This is sort of ticking along. So Harry has now reached a stage where he's just tormenting Jack throughout the week. And I'm wondering quite how far he's going to be able to push Jack before Jack punches him again, in all honesty, because he keeps like turning up and tormenting him and like doing little love hearts through the window. Which I've got to be honest, I think that's the way you should torment people. That's the way to do it, with love.
Do you know what? I hate Jack at the minute because of how he's
Really?
being with Penny. Yeah, so I kind of am like,
You're
but
Team
normally
Harry.
I'd normally be like Team Jack and be like, no, this is well out of order. He doesn't deserve it. I still don't think he deserves this, to be fair.
I wonder if we're supposed to be Team Harry or Jack, to be honest. You know, like how they'll do these things out now and again. It's like, are we supposed to be, whose side are we supposed to be on here?
Jack's not helping himself with Penny, but I don't think the way that she's going about it is the right way to be.
No, there's ways
things.
And means. There are ways and means of dealing with revenge, but you know, it's I don't know. I mean, how far do you think this is going to go? Because now Harry has basically persuaded Jack with the threat of blackmailing with the video that he's got of him being punched to steal this car or fetch this car, this dodgy car, from the streets and then take it back to the Archers. Now, obviously, he was there and was filming Jack taking the car away. So he's now effectively got two incriminating pieces of evidence against Jack on his phone ready to go. So how much more is he going to, how much further is he going to go with this? Like, what's the plan ultimately?
Well, this is what didn't make sense to me, right? Because for Jack to be weighing it up, what would be better? Potentially getting caught with a car and looking like you've been involved in something really dodgy there, or just punching your daughter's kind of boyfriend in the street? Which one would be worse for the police? I would say that stealing a car and looking like you're involved in all that's worse. So I don't understand why he did it. I'd have been like, press send, Harry, mate.
Yeah, like, we can do. Yeah. Because the thing is,
I'll admit to it and I might get a caution at work or, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. For me, they didn't equate.
Yeah, I don't think that the punch would have been, especially considering that the police are aware of Harry and the fact that, you know, he's a Mitchell. So the police will sort of be like, oh, you punched a Mitchell, fair. Because half the police hate the Mitchells anyway. So you sort of wonder whether, like, how what really would have happened to Jack if this video gets...
It's,
I mean,
war for
obviously,
police.
It's war for police.
Where are you, mate? It's not even a real video.
They're not even investigating. They're not even investigating the fire at the call centre. Why would they care
about
punch?
True. Yeah.
Why would they care? Bless DCI office. He's having a long-deserved holiday after all the Six drama, so he's not going to be interested.
That's true.
So, yeah, this is kind of continuing in the background. Penny and Harry are sort of just... basically Bonnie and Clyde essentially at this point, aren't they? Just sort of like all romantically involved and really kind of enjoying the thrill of getting Jack slowly but surely, like, just destroying his life ultimately is the plan. I wonder whether Penny is gonna start to feel a little bit guilty at some point and Harry's gonna want to continue it. I don't know whether I like Harry yet. I don't mean like as in, you know, like, oh, hate Harry, but I don't know whether like, yes, is he a sort of lovable rogue or is he a bit of a psycho? Like, where is
a bit like how I felt with Teddy, when you were like, oh no, you've got to make your mind up now. And I'm like, well, I don't know, I don't feel like I know the real him.
Never said that you had to make your mind up now.
I know you didn't, it was insinuating.
I gave you a week, let's be real here,
exactly.
I don't know whose side I'm supposed to be on. But Harry, I think he's a bit of a nutter deep down, is Harry. I think there's a side to him.
But it was interesting as well this week because Penny said something to him like, oh, because your dad don't feel like you're capable. Like, she thinks that Teddy's got that view of Harry. Like, Harry's been saying that to Penny as well. Mm. Like, that Teddy thinks that Harry's a bit dumb. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm. That he's not capable of things. And I'm like, oh, are they trying to bond over the fact that they both think that the dads don't understand them? But actually Teddy and Harry seem to have quite a good relationship.
Yeah, so they're really close. Like,
that's what I mean. I didn't quite understand that comment. It's almost like she's trying to encourage him to think that his dad don't have trust in him as well, so that he'd be more willing to do it. I don't know.
Yeah,
felt
I mean,
like it weren't a deserved comment that she
I feel like Penny could absolutely keep Harry under control. I think, because obviously I think the vibe we're supposed to be getting off Harry is that he's definitely more brawn than brain. So I don't think that a pretty girl sort of fluttering her eyelashes and being like Penny is being with him right now, basically with the promise of, we can sleep together if you do this for me. That's going to work very easily with a bloke like Harry, I think. So I wonder kind of who's, if I think Penny is going to be able to remain in control throughout the whole situation. But then I wonder if she is going to feel some element of guilt at some point about Jack and what she's planning on doing, especially when it comes to Amy. Like, I think Amy's going to at some point be a key component in this. It's interesting. But I do think that it's kind of, I'm kind of fascinated by this dynamic that she's looking at how Jack is now dealing with essentially his new disabled daughter after all after missing from her life for so long. Like, you can kind of understand why Penny is so pissed off.
Yeah, I've been thinking, you're a dickhead. You're doing all this in front of Penny with Amy. You weren't there for her when she did this. So I understand why she's so angry.
And you were responsible for Penny being in the wheel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can understand the injustice that she's feeling.
Absolutely.
Also, she's not taking it out on Amy at all either. If anything, I think that she's probably deep down grateful for Amy to be having somebody to support her through it. But
oh yeah, I don't think she's resentful like, well, of Amy
why didn't
whatsoever.
You do that with me though?
Yeah, it's interesting.
But I think you're right in saying that unless Penny has this moment of feeling guilty, I can see it going that way. I reckon her and Jack are going to have a heart to heart, and he'll actually admit and said, "You know what? You're right. Where was I doing all this for you? I have supported Amy. I totally see." I think once Jack has that realization, they have that moment.
That's all Penny wants.
Penny will go, "Oh no, we need to pull the plug on this, Harry." By which point, Harry will have probably embroiled Jack in some massive criminal setup. I don't know what it'll be. Some warehouse shenanigans that he's got involved in somehow, being a copper on the inside. And he'll be like, "Penny, no way, we're going ahead."
It's too late now. So it's going to be interesting to sort of. So I think I can bet you're right. This is going to snowball from here, isn't it? Like, I think Penny's going to get in above her head. Like, it's interesting that we've sort of, like, since Penny's reintroduction to the show, we've sort of, like, she's all right with crime. You know, it's not like this is new territory for her. I mean, she was essentially a drug lord in Paris. So it's not like she doesn't know how to sort of deal with the law and avoid the law. And she's quite prepared to throw people under the bus in order to keep herself out of the limelight of stuff like that. But I think that once it starts to immediately involve members of her own family, then she's going to start to develop a little bit of a conscience. So we'll see how that develops. The other thing to mention is the Barney stuff. Like, he was back this week having visited his mum. There is obviously still this secret hanging in the air that they're keeping from Barney, something to do with the mum. And I think we'll be seeing her very, very soon. So I'm excited about that. There have been some promo pictures released of Nicola, and she looks bloody iconic. I can't wait to meet her.
What do you think it is then, the secret? I have no idea. Something to do with the girlfriend?
Well, I mean, why mention it otherwise is my thinking, but I've got no idea what it could possibly be. I kind of feel like it's not going to be a murder cover-up, because we've just come out of the Six storyline, and then we've got this other stuff going on with Reese, so they're not going to do, like, a third murder cover-up story, so it's got to be something else going on, surely.
Yeah, you'd think. I don't know, I'm confused by it as well. But poor Barney, when he finds out whatever it is,
yeah.
Because it obviously is something that's going to upset him as well. And it must be bad for her to have let, like, Teddy just take away both the boys as well. So it must be something that she's done wrong.
Yeah, because the inclination is it's her that's in the wrong, isn't it? And we've been led to believe all the way through that it's Teddy that's the bad guy. But
it feels like she has done something that she shouldn't do. That is real, which is making me wonder if it is something to do with the girlfriend. Maybe she does know something about where she is.
Yeah. I can't wait to meet her. It's going to be very, very exciting. Right, ladies and gents, talking of bad guys, let's move on now to Reese.
So, Rob, now we're moving on to the Reese and Bianca stuff. So, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Did you see that coming?
No, I did not. I didn't. No, genuinely.
Did you genuinely not?
No, I didn't.
Did you actually think it was one of my wacky theories?
Well, I mean, look, as soon as Reese turned around and said, "Oh, well, let me take you to this lockup," I was like, oh.
It took you that long to click?
Yeah, I didn't. I think you'll find, Ree, that when you first suggested the lockup being quite an important component in the storyline, and that the likelihood was that Bianca was going to be locked up, I said to you, "Oh, actually, that's a good idea. That's not a bad theory." And we have that on record, so we can't.
I'm so glad, because when I told Rob this week and I said, "I'm going to be smuggy," we're like, "You better hope it was recorded." I was like,
Do you know how I know it was recorded? Because people on Facebook were sort of like, "Oh my God, Ree was right." So it was like a tsunami of "Ree is right" being thrown into my notifications.
Thank you so much. And if you still want to comment "Ree is right," please feel free to do so below.
Oh, they will. They will.
Ree was right.
Was
that the hashtag, first thought in your head when you hashtag, saw it happening?
Ree was right. Let's get it trending. Hashtag Ree was right.
Hashtag Ree is always right, Rob.
Let's not go crazy. Let's not go mental, little Miss Bird Poo on the door. Let's not go crazy.
Oh, God, you have one little theory. Still could be relevant.
It could be. Half of me kind of thinks the show is doing this just to sort of twist our dynamics around now, to be honest with you. This wasn't part of the plan until they listened to that episode.
I gave them the idea.
So the Ree storyline has reached a new level of madness, right? I mean, this is the thing. I am still disappointed that this is the direction that Reese has gone in, all right? Because I used to love Reese as a sort of funny, quirky character. And now, let's be real, he's an out-and-out villain now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just misunderstood. Not an out-and-out villain. Mecking Bianca pee and poop in buckets, you know?
I tell you what, you're going to need more than egg boxes on that lockup to keep the noise out from Bianca being locked up. Let's be real.
No, they're they are a very good way of soundproofing play. Like legit. Like,
or
yeah.
Even Bianca at the top of her voice. I will see. We will see. So this all basically begins with Reese getting hold of some footage that Teddy has managed to get for him. This mate of his has managed to find footage of outside the care home. And Teddy says, well, this will probably be useful for you because it's from the day that Debbie died. And Reese is like, well, that's, oh dear. So Bianca finds out about this and she obviously wants to go along with Reese and find out what's gone on. And Reese very quickly sort of takes Teddy away. We need to go now. Bye. Come on. So off we go. And Bianca's left behind, which instantly, again, makes her suspicious. Like, why did you run off without, you know, when you knew that I wanted to come with you? And what he discovers...
And he wasn't enthused by it either, was he?
No.
By the news.
No, exactly. And what he discovers when he looks at the footage is basically him standing outside the care home, presumably at the time that Debbie died. It would incriminate him. Now, you could argue that, you know, yeah, well, obviously he's going to be on the CCTV footage because he will have, like, they'll know that he was in the care home that day anyway, surely, won't they? So I don't know really how much that incriminates him.
It was because the timing of it, so it's got the time on the CCTV, he was supposedly at the Albert. That was his, not the Albert, Peggy's. That was his alibi, wasn't it, because of his phone?
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
true.
So then if
you see the
CCTV that he's actually there, but his only proof of being at Peggy's was that his phone was there,
then
they delve into that deeper and find out that actually it was in lost property.
Apparent.
So yeah, it was very incriminating for old Reese.
Yes. So he then takes the footage on a USB stick and takes that home and then just stamps on the USB stick angrily. And then that's sorted. That's that evidence destroyed. That'll do it. Obviously not. And Teddy's very much aware of what he's done. Like, he's clearly taken this footage away and now he's got his mate, like, in his ear. Like, what did you let this random man come into my place for? Because obviously this is a bit of a criminal underworld. So there's now CCTV footage that I don't want, like, out there. So he's kind of got this gangster mate in his ear. So, and Bianca is instantly suspicious and, like, does her Bianca thing of going at him like a Rottweiler. And eventually he manages to say, yes, all right, I did take the footage and I destroyed it because there's nothing on it. So, and just gives this really weak excuse, which, again, sets Bianca's spidey senses tingling.
Yeah. And then tells Teddy, oh, no, I did view it, actually. Because Teddy's like, why would you not look at it? And then he, in fact, tells Teddy, well, actually, I didn't want to tell Bianca this, but Sonia's on it, and she's taking gloves off. Like, what are you doing? Why would you tell Teddy that anyway? Like, he could totally use that. He doesn't know Sonia.
No, he couldn't give a shite.
Go, oh, well, actually, that proves that she is guilty. I'll go and take it to... But anyway. It kind of works because then Teddy goes, oh, well, you need to go home now because Bianca's watching the copy that I got for her.
Yeah, because Teddy has said, oh, well, clearly something weird's going on. So you can have this other copy of the footage, which, by the way, this is the only bit of this now. So you need to look after this. I'm trusting you with this, which you instantly knew. Well, that's going to go wrong then, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Bianca kind of rushes home, sticks it in the computer and sees the footage of Reese outside the care home and gotcha. As she says, just as Reese kind of scurries across the square to discover this. And what they then had, I thought, was a really good set of scenes between the two of them, actually. There were some really nice sort of mentions of Billy where, you know, talking about, like, discovering a dead body and all of that kind of thing. So stuff that was really resonating with Bianca and her history. Because when Reese turned around to her and said, have you ever discovered the body of a loved one? You kind of think, yeah, probably quite a few times. You know, not only
she
Billy.
She lives in Albert Square, Reese. Listen,
yeah,
so, you know.
They've all done that at some point. You know, Billy, Tiffany. I think, you know, Bianca was there when Tiffany got run over. So all sorts of horrible sort of memories we've been brought up with this by Bianca, and it was a really strong scene between the two of them. I liked it a lot. And Reese at that point, just because Bianca is going at him and going at him and going at him as she does, and he then confesses, yeah, it's me, I killed Debbie. Were you surprised that he did that at that moment? Because I think I was.
I was, but then because she kept going, I thought he's going to say it now, because a part of me thought he needs to get it off his chest because he hasn't told anyone, has he? And I think because she kept pressing, I thought in my head, I thought he's going to think it's game over anyway because she's seen the footage. If she takes that to the police, she's going to get found out. Why not confess to Bianca and deal with that rather than let her run to the police with the footage? I wasn't that surprised, no. I felt it would come in that moment that he was going to say, I did kill Debbie. Because he went, I didn't kill her, I didn't kill her, I didn't kill her, I did kill her.
Yeah.
Oh, it feels so good. And I feel like now Bianca's going to become his kind of confidant. No, wait, would she be the confidant or would he be the confidant?
No, I know what you mean. And now she's all locked up. He's going to be able to just say anything to her because there's no secrets between the two of them now, is there?
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to sort of see. I'm going to be honest, I thought Teddy was going to be the one that he'd ultimately confess to. I thought they were going to have some sort of weird dynamic where Teddy was going to be able to, like, Teddy would work out that something weird was going on and would be able to sort of work his magic a little bit on Reese and get the truth out of him that way. And then Teddy would be the one that was stuck with this secret and wondering what to do about it. And he'd have more to blackmail Reese with further down the line, was where I thought it was going to go.
There's time yet, because obviously people assume Bianca's on the run because of the whole candlestick hitting on the head story. But actually, like, Teddy, like, if some, like, Freddy starts talking or Martin, Teddy might go, you know what? I had a chat with Bianca and she said she weren't going to give up on Sonia. So why would she run just because she's at Reese? You know what I mean? So maybe there might still be time for him to start putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to figure it out at some point. So
yeah, maybe Teddy's
being involved. Could still be involved down the line.
Maybe Teddy's going to be the one that discovers Bianca in the lockup, actually. Mm. Like, I think he's maybe more likely to follow Reese because he's now, because let's be honest, now Reese is kind of like, Teddy is now suspicious of Reese, I think. No matter what Reese told him, I think Teddy's got enough wearable about him to sort of know when he's being lied to, especially with somebody who, let's be real, isn't that good at lying. So
this is what I thought with Teddy, because he's such a good judge of character. Is he going to just see through Reese's
instantly? Yeah.
But then Reese did come up with a good reason as to why he ran off with the footage when he said, oh, well, actually Sonia was on it taking gloves off. So Teddy did buy that. But there's still time for Reese to slip up. Him and Teddy are still kind of in each other's pockets.
Yeah.
So there's time for him to still see through it all. And if other people on the square get involved, then that'll be it, won't it?
Yeah. I think that, especially now he's got Bianca locked up, I think Reese is just going to just disintegrate from this point onwards. And that's going to be easy enough for someone as perceptive as Teddy to sort of be able to go, you're not telling me the truth. Now we can do this one or two ways, Reese. You can either tell me the truth now, or I'm going to make life very difficult for you because you owe me a lot. You owe me anyway. So let's see how we can work together here. So yeah, I think thinking about it, Teddy is going to be the one that ultimately discovers Bianca. The other thing I want to say is I how long have we got Bianca for? She's been around for months now. I didn't think this was going to be this long a stint. I love it.
Well, this is it, isn't it? This is where the whole debate of how long
how long is she going to be locked up for? Yeah. I love it. I do love it. And I am enjoying the Reese storyline for what it is now. I just have that initial sort of like, oh, it's a shame that they've done this with Reese, because I loved him and Sonia together. Mm-hmm. They were a fairly sort of normal comedy couple that really worked with Sonia. I thought her and Reese worked so well together. But if you think about Reese's story throughout the whole thing, straight away, he came in. And despite the fact that he was clearly this sort of bumbling, cheerful, you know, but ultimately kind of a little bit quirky guy, you've also got to think about the fact that he knew that his wife was in this care home and he still started this relationship with Sonia in the first place. So it's sort of like there's been something a little bit off about Reese right from the start all the way through that you can't really focus on, but you know there's something a little bit off about him.
I think that was complicated though in itself, to be fair. Like, what a weird circumstance to be in, and then he's met somebody, and you know. But the only thing I'm thinking is, I felt like he did it really well, you know, at first when he were hiding the fact that he was going to see Debbie. Is he always got to have some little secret like this, and now it's going to be, oh, I've got Bianca locked up? Is it almost like he likes having these little secrets where he has to run off? Are we going to find out that he's done something like this before Debbie and her stroke? Has he got a history of?
Or I don't know.
You think it's just he's a villain of circumstance, not a victim of
circumstance. I think that's what he is. I do think that's what. I don't see Reese as somebody who is some sort of criminal mastermind. I really don't. I think he is a victim of his own chaos, essentially. You know, he's somebody that just these crazy things happen to, and the way he reacts to them is so extreme that it just always makes the situation 10 times worse. So it kind of makes you wonder, ultimately, where does the ending come for Reese? Like, is it going to be so cataclysmic that he ends up dying, or is he going to go to prison? Now, normally in the world, so it's a life for a life, you know? So I do wonder where it's going to go. I do hope that he doesn't kill anybody else, because I feel like this is enough at the moment. But then at the same time, this sort of snowballing makes you kind of think, surely another victim is on the way at some point. I don't think we're ever going to see Brenda again. And I always thought that Brenda was a dead woman walking. So
that's true.
I don't know.
They know about the lockup there, so if they do get involved down the line, maybe they can get involved somehow.
That's true. So, I mean, what are your thoughts of this now, the developments of this week? Because, like we say, Reese is an out-and-out villain now, a bit of a nutter, in all fairness, a bit of a manipulator, quite threatening in some regards. Like, so what are your thoughts on how this is now developed?
I think a part of me still thinks that Reese, you know, he keeps feeding into this delusion he's got with Bianca that she'll keep you locked up here until Sonia comes out of jail and then we'll all live happily ever after. Part of me thinks that he does genuinely believe that and that maybe he's going to somehow talk Bianca around. I think Bianca's going to start trying to play it a bit more clever, but then still be Bianca about it and then let something slip. Or Martin's going to start putting the pieces together as Reese starts slipping up a bit. And maybe, I mean, that'd be a great anniversary episode, wouldn't it? That Martin and Bianca have been locked up together in this lockup by Reese and then they suddenly escape. That could be a great 40th anniversary reveal. Yeah. So maybe it's Martin who's not going to be safe.
I don't know who else it could be who'd figure it out. I don't know if they're going to keep it going on until the anniversary. I can see it maybe being Christmas.
I thought that, but I don't actually think until Christmas would be long enough. I feel like they'd need. I feel like it might be longer until the anniversary.
Maybe, but I kind of just wonder how long can you really keep. I mean, it depends how long they want to keep Bianca locked up for. And if they do the sort of. It depends how the block storytelling of this goes. Like, are they now going to not refer to this storyline for a couple of weeks, and then the next time we see Bianca, she's sort of been locked up for a fortnight and she's like a shadow of her former self, and so she's less screamy, less
shouty. Wearing Debbie's old clothes and...
Reese has dressed her up as Debbie. Yeah, you know, like pans of wee everywhere. Like, she just throws at Reese every time he walks into the room.
No, he's ordered a commode from Amazon, he said. Well, not from Amazon, but...
That was madness. It's all right, I've ordered you a commode. We'll just pretend it's a caravan holiday. I hate caravans.
So do I actually. See you later.
See you later, bye. It's madness. It's absolute madness.
He's like, yeah, but it's okay because I've got you a fridge, I've got you a kettle.
Got your microwave.
At any point, did you think that suitcase had Bianca's body in it? Did you think that at any point?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, I think that we were maybe supposed to think it had Bianca's body in it, but there wasn't a second of me that kind of thought Reese has killed Bianca. I didn't think that at all. I figured that the way that they were framing it was clearly that we were maybe supposed to think it, because they kept like doing shots of blood on his hands and the back of his head where she clearly whacked him with the candlestick. Like, I got what they were trying to do with it, but it didn't fool me necessarily, no.
No, I didn't. I didn't know what was in it, though. I mean, really, did he need to hide it?
That was my question. Like, why was he carrying it? Why did he carry it from the lockup into the house, hide it, and then take it back to the lockup again? What was the point of that?
No, he didn't. He took things from the house.
From the lockup to the house?
No, from the house to the lockup. No, so
He dragged it in from the back door so that he clearly had that with him, that he'd taken stuff from the lockup and taken it back to the house.
I didn't think that.
I thought he pulled it in through the back door.
Oh, maybe he just found some. I don't know, actually. Anyway,
no, I didn't think it was Bianca in it, because you couldn't have fitted Bianca's puffer jacket in that case, let's be real.
But interesting that when he had that little car crash with Jack, is that going to come up again, I wonder? I don't know why they bothered doing it at all, if not. But anyway,
I don't know.
Kim tried to ring Bianca and her phone were ringing.
Yeah, from the back of the car. Boom. I don't know. Maybe it'll be something further down the line. I got the impression that maybe it was just about to creating a little bit of tension in that immediate scene.
Yeah.
Something for Jack and Harry to refer to. Like, yeah, exactly. I think like there was just something, maybe not something to pin too much on, but you never know. You never know. So, yeah, I mean, my prediction is that maybe this will be the big Christmas stuff, which
Maybe
pushes the Cindy and Junior stuff aside, and maybe that's going to be the anniversary. I don't know. One thing about this is that we still don't really know what's going to happen at Christmas. We still don't really know what's going to happen for the anniversary, which is an exciting position to be in because we've no idea what's going to happen. Mm. Sonia, how long is she going to be in prison for? We've got, like, apparently there's weeks now until the trial. So
I was just thinking that because, like, she'll be well pregnant by the time we next see her. I've not seen her for a while. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't realise Natalie Cassidy was having such a long break.
No, me neither. I did say to you, though, remember a bit ago, we're doing the podcast, I wonder if she were going to be having some sort of break.
Yeah, because I haven't heard that she was going on a break or anything. No. So clearly she's having a bit of an holiday, and fair play to her because she works hard as our Nat.
Maybe Sonia will come out at Christmas time and then she'll be like, where's Bianca? It's weird that I've not heard from her. Then having said that, Bianca said that she'd not been answering any of Sonia's calls, didn't she? Yeah. So again, it's very much spelling out that no one's going to miss Bianca and think anything sus of the fact that she's gone off grid. Mm. So...
hey, I guess we'll wait and see. It's just going to be one of those storylines where you just kind of think, okay, so we'll just go along with the madness, try and enjoy the ride. I will always remain disappointed that this is the direction they took Reese in because I loved him as a quirky comedy character. But the thing is, when he does his funny, quirky Reese stuff, I find it less funny because it's still got this sort of killer, weird kidnapper vibe going to it, which sort of... kind of validates the opinions that people had of, like, the characters had of Reese when he first arrived. It was just this weirdo and this bit of a nutter. And actually, he is a bit of a weirdo and a bit of a nutter because he's murdered his wife and now he's got Bianca locked up in a lockup with a tuber. So
he's still trying to kid it. Like, he said it were a mercy kill, didn't he? Or his wife and stuff, like...
Yeah, yeah, framing it as euthanasia is a take.
I don't know, I feel like there could still be more to come, that Bianca's not going to be his last victim and that he is going to end up with somebody else in there. He's very good at... I still don't know whether I believe the fumbling idiot act. Is it an act or is it his personality? And I can't quite put my finger on with Reese.
I don't know. There's times... like, when he was turning around to Bianca and, like, saying stuff like, well, it'll be down to you if Sonia never gets out of prison. Or then turning around and saying stuff like, well, you know, this is just your ADHD or your depression. You're getting all confused. Like, that is, like, really classic Raid 1 cold manipulation that he's then doing now, which... to be honest with you, I don't think suited his character all that much. Yeah, like, I don't think it suited his character all that much, to be honest, that we've had up to now. So this is why I kind of keep getting sort of almost disappointed by Reese's character now, because he's just turning into an out-and-out villain that I've got no sympathy towards. Like, even up to the point where he killed Debbie, I'm not saying that what he did was right, obviously, but I could understand his logic in doing it. You know, like, he was desperate, he had no other options, but now his life is just snowballing and turning to shit, essentially. So,
see, and the things that he was saying to Bianca, I didn't see as him trying to manipulate her. I saw it as him, like, actually believing what he's saying, like, well, this is all your fault, like, you know, could have got away with it if it weren't for that damn Bianca. And now it's like, well, anything that happens now,
that meddling chav.
I do think he genuinely believes it. Yeah, yeah. I do think he genuinely believes it. I think he's completely delusional. Like I said, when he said, oh, we'll all live happily ever after as soon as Sonia's out. Like, what is his plan with Bianca? Like, does he genuinely think as long as Sonia gets out, she's not going to say anything?
Yeah, I think that's very much a placeholder in his head at the moment. Like, he's just sort of thinking, right, I'll just keep Bianca here for now, and then I'll work out the next part, but everything will be fine. Now, I've got everything under control now. Like, everything will be absolutely fine. It's like, no, this is all going to go horribly, horribly wrong. So, which is why, because of the chaos of this, I don't think that they're going to be able to make this last till the anniversary. Like, I can understand...
Yeah, fair enough.
I can understand how Bianca getting released would actually be quite a good anniversary sort of moment. But because the plot and Reese's plan itself is so chaotic, I don't see how it sustains itself for so long to last until February, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't know, maybe people start getting more sus and it'll all come out. I don't know. It could. I think it could last until February, but I understand
we'll
what
see.
you're saying.
Maybe you're right. I think it will be quite a good anniversary climax, but I don't know. I don't know how it lasts that long, but we'll wait and see. Let us know in the comment section below where you think the Reese storyline goes from here. How do you feel about the Reese storyline? Is it good? Is it bad? Do you, what, like, tell us your thoughts. Empty your head into the comment section below, please. Gold star this week, Ree. What do you think?
Bianca.
Okay. I think I'm going to give mine to Kat. I did enjoy the Kat stuff and the healthy
again,
stuff
I
this
think.
Week.
Did you get Kat last week? Or
no, the week before, I think. Yeah. So Kat and Bianca for the gold stars this week. Who would you give yours to? Let us know. And as usual, ladies and gents, we'll finish the podcast with some comments from you.
We've got an email from Jeff Rob, and he says,
"Oh yes,
hi Rob and Ree. Just a thought about the 40th anniversary live episode, where viewers will be given chance to vote on the outcome of a story. Mm-hmm. I don't believe EastEnders will be crass enough to simply have an announcer displaying phone numbers like an episode of Strictly. I believe Kim will be following the developments in a relationship and posting this on her online channel. She's got form in this area. On the live episode, we'll all be followers of the Kimfluencer. So Kim will then ask her followers, us, to vote on what we want to happen. And she will then report on the result, encouraging whoever is involved to get together. Love the podcast and all the best."
Thank you, Jeff. That's an excellent idea. I really
like
that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. And sort of reminds me of during the 30th, Tamwa was uploading bits and pieces during the marketplace, if you remember. He was like uploading like pictures of the wedding and stuff in the marketplace and all that kind of thing. So that's interesting. That would be a really good way of keeping the viewers like sort of involved. And maybe, yes, that's how whatever the choice is going to be, that's how it's sort of going, it's going to work. Have you had any thoughts on what this choice might be yet?
Maybe something to do with Ruby and Martin and Stacey, but then Lacey Turner's, going on maternity leave, so I don't know if she'd be there for that one.
Lacey Turner's an ambulance, so yeah, it's it's possible. I mean, I also wonder whether it's going to maybe the Cindy stuff is going to be that. I don't know. It's whatever this choice
could
is.
Be. Cindy.
I fully agree, though, actually. Now you've put that idea in my head, I really like that idea, because Christ knows this Kimfluencer stuff needs to have a point to it. 9 times out of 10, it annoys me.
I don't mind the Kimfluencer stuff.
I always love Kim to pieces, but this whole Kim, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm thinking, I'm just glad that she's not Foxcatcher anymore, because that used to drive me crazy.
Yeah, that drove me more mad than the Kimfluencer.
Yeah.
I think it's fitting for her.
Yeah, I think it works. So yeah, that would be a really interesting way of doing that. So yeah, watch this space. Comments about this week. Chad Elliott Price has said, absolutely hilarious, this whole recent Bianca situation. He's absolutely crackers. And the way she looks at him because he's barmy, you've got a fridge, took me out. See, this is the thing. I understand completely the comedy aspect of the whole thing. Like, there was moments where it was funny this week, especially that Duff Duff on Wednesday's episode where he just goes out with a blanket and all we hear is Bianca screaming. Like, it's dramatic, but it's also hilarious at the same time. Like, I get it. It's, I just sort of, I've just got to get over the fact that I wish Reese wasn't in this direction, and now I'll just sit back and enjoy what we've got.
I've accepted it now. I'm just more annoyed because I don't want Bianca to be in danger, but yeah, I'm confident that she won't be, actually. Which leads me on to my next comment, actually, from
Casey. Oh, that's a link.
Casey,
oh, you're
Ray
such
Bowden.
A pro. Such a pro.
Casey, who says, if Bianca dies, I'll be fuming. I bet Ree will be too. Yes, I don't think she will die.
No. Yes, indeed.
Do you?
Indeed. No,
I don't
of course,
kill
of
her
course
off.
Not. Of course
can't
not.
Can't kill Bianca off,
even
for a 40th anniversary.
No, never in a million years is Bianca going to die. Reese will die before Bianca does, let me tell you that.
Yes,
nothing.
I agree.
Absolutely. Connor Wilkinson has said, Reese is like a discount version of Joe Goldberg from You. How long will Bianca be locked up in that lockup for? We have said this about... we said this about Theo right up from the start, didn't we? That it was Joe Goldberg.
Theo
that,
said it about.
Theo we said that
yeah.
about, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand the comparison, but he's just a bit less of a stalker. But there is time, I guess, if you think somebody starts getting sus on him. But yeah,
anything's possible.
That.
Anything's possible. Finally, Catriona Kelly says, I really thought Bianca was in the suitcase. Reese is unhinged. And Louise Claire replied and said, yeah, there was a few moments when I genuinely believed he had killed her. So, yeah, some people that did fall. And I could understand why. But I just think, do you know what? If it was anybody else, I might have been a little bit more fooled, but I thought there's no way Bianca is getting killed off like that. No, never in a million years, surely.
And not off screen. You'd have to. If you were going to kill someone off like Bianca, you'd have to show us she is dead. There is no coming back from this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even with Ronnie and Roxy, we still think there's hope, and we saw them die on screen. So, you know.
There's definitely hope. The 40th, mate. That's going to be the big old twist of the 40th. I can't wait for them to be back next year. It's going to be great.
Can't wait to see them. Hey, Amy will be happy.
Hollow optimism. That's all we run this podcast on. Right, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on X and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, indeed you can. Thank you very much for watching, my darlings. Thank you very much for listening. Watching and listening. Thank you for your service.
Both of them.
There we go. We'll be back same time next week. Next week, I have a feeling we might be returning to a storyline that we haven't seen in quite a while. That would be Phil. I feel that we might be seeing some of Lonely Phil next week, and I can't wait to discuss that. So until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Bye. See you next week. Goodbye.